Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all right. We're all right. MTG in quarantine podcast. Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to the folks who follow me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine brand of playmat over at Inked Gaming. That is INKEDgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer, and you're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can head on over to Inked Gaming. That's INKEDgaming.com. Find the link to that and my affiliate code in the link tree in the episode description below. Every purchase helps support the channel and is greatly appreciated. All right, well, if I'm sounding a little bit tired here, there's definitely a good reason for that, and that is because of MagicCon Las Vegas that happened this past weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. And as usual, I am doing my traditional post-con episode to help y'all hear about my thoughts on the event and, you know, honestly, just, you know, allow me an opportunity to talk for 20-ish minutes about my experience at the con. So the con didn't necessarily start out the best. I unfortunately got injured playing volleyball earlier in the week, so that kind of sucked. And I also had a very early flight out to Vegas in the morning, so by the time I got to the convention hall, I mean, I was able to get to the convention hall fairly shortly thereafter the hall opened. But, you know, being injured and also being tired, you know, not necessarily the best start to, you know, start off your Magic Con. It's not really the way you want to start a con, but oh well, that's just the way things are. That is life. But yeah, the con, honestly, I'm going to say that, and I did say this to some content friends over the course of the weekend, I had fun at Vegas. I guess I found it a little bit disappointing only because I had always wanted to go to a Magic Con in Las Vegas. Ever since I started playing in 2019, I'd always wanted to go. And I think my expectations were just so through the roof that no matter what I did at Vegas or saw at Vegas, you know, it was never going to match the 4 years of expectation I had going for it. So with those little bits of negative notes out of the way, I'm going to finally get back to the positive things. You know, the things that you listen to my podcast for. I don't try to be a negative person. Obviously, I will speak my mind on, you know, just a few things if they go kind of awry. But we are done with those. So let's move on to the positive stuff. So again, I had so much fun just getting to hang out with and, you know, see all my friends at this event. Obviously, there were just so many content folks out there that I've met before, a few new folks as well. But again, so many folks that I also missed out on entirely who, you know, I kind of have to see them from afar through Twitter, through various other avenues like that, where it's like, damn it, I missed you. I feel terrible that I missed you. And yeah, so a lot of disappointment, I would say. But anywho, let's get to the positives here, shall we? So anywho, I'm going to start off with the time. Yeah. So I'm going to start off with the, sorry, I was looking through pictures there, but I'm going to start off with the Saturday Night Slumber Party. So if you were aware, Wizards of the Coast, brought in the DJ duo Wooden Wisdom, which included the one and only Frodo Baggins himself, Elijah Wood. And I gotta say, Well, the party, I think, in Minneapolis was better, honestly, just in like hanging out, talking with your friends. The summer party was still really awesome, just getting to hear an entire 80s set spun on 45 records by those two. And honestly, the fact that Elijah Wood was being a DJ was freaking awesome, honestly. I was able to see a ton of my friends there. We had a really good time hearing a bunch of banger hits from the 80s, including the Super Mario Brothers theme, which is pretty awesome. Got a video of that on my phone to share with my friends back home. And it's really cool just to be able to see that in person. I know how much Elijah was excited about the Lord of the Rings set, and to have him there being a DJ, you know, getting to, and for me, just being able to be there and see that was pretty awesome. It's not every day you're going to be able to get to do that. And that's the reason why I ultimately got that ticket. I wasn't originally going to go, but I did get the ticket, and it was totally worth it for that alone. And I'm really glad I had the idea to go. So, anywho, my phone's being really weird. Come on, phone, don't be weird. Don't be weird. Anywho. So I want to start off with the creator arena that in the actual show hall for this time. So as I know I mentioned in my last episode, I was a feature content creator in Minneapolis. So I was very curious to see how that experience from May translated over to Vegas. And I'm pleased to say that they, with again, Wizards of the Coast really knocked this one out of the park. They had a very large creator area in the corner of the convention hall, and obviously had your creators doing the meets and greets for an hour, just like I did in Minneapolis. So signing stuff, having people come by and doing stuff. But they also integrated it with some arena content, so computer terminals where you could just go and play arena. They had a kind of a feature area for that where you could actually play and have your games be, you know, not necessarily televised, but shown up on the big screen if folks wanted to hang out. They had a little lounge area. Everything was sponsored by IHOP, which is really cool. So they had a bunch of like little stand-up IHOP syrup dispensers there, you know, with the Wizards of the Coast and with the Magic: The Gathering branding, which is really awesome. Unfortunately, there weren't free pancakes, which would have been really cool, but IHOP definitely had a presence there. And honestly, I gotta say, the sponsorship didn't feel weird at all. Obviously, as an outside observer, it was pretty awesome to see that a company was sponsoring this whole area. And then obviously you had a little area there to be able to have creator games and whatnot. So that was really cool. One of the things I got to do in the creator area was I got to play the Unfinity Battle Box from friends of the show, Anna MT 1992. And she had curated six different Unfinity commanders, both ones with the Acorn Stamp and without. And basically had six decks that you could play against each other. And I ended up winning that game with the Space Family Goblinson, who a deck that a Gruul deck, so a green and red deck, that loves to roll dice, and every time you roll a die, the Space Family Goblinson gets a plus one counter, and also has trample if you rolled three or more dice in that one turn. So I was able to take all of the die rolling stuff in the deck. Through a barbarian class, which allowed me to roll an additional die every time I rolled a die. And then, yeah, I was able to create a gigantic Space Family Goblins. And ultimately, at the end of the game, it turned into a 35-35 with double strike and trample. And I was able to run my opponents over fairly easily with that giant commander. I had a Hunter's Insight at one point. I wasn't quite able to take out my last opponent, but I did draw 50 some cards, I think, off that Hunter's Insight for three mana. I'd say that's a very, very good rate. But again, it was a very fun event. Thank you so much to Anna again for putting that battle box together. It was a lot of fun, just getting to play with the commander I never played with before. And just, you know, I don't play with die rolling mechanics, so it was fun to just have that extra element of randomness involved in the game. So again, huge shout out to Anna for doing that. I got a lot of games in, honestly. Got to play a bunch of CDH with friends Scylla and Anna, as well as Bear Claymore from the Sylvan Scholars. and various other folks. And it was really cool to be able to play that deck because I'm obviously going to Silicon Dynasty 2 this upcoming weekend in San Jose, California. And I was able to playtest pretty much the Hermit Druid. So Nathan, I've had him on the show before. His Dab Farm list, which I did deck tech. If you're interested in hearing more about that deck, definitely check that out. But I'm thinking I'm going to be playing that Dab Farm list at Silicon Dynasty 2. And it was really cool to be able to get all sorts of playtesting against various decks in the meta at this event. I didn't win any, unfortunately, but again, I'm really not going to the tournament to win. I'm just going to play Magic with cool people. So, you know, I don't honestly care. Had some interesting games, and that's all. And I learned more about the deck, and that's really all that matters. So, yes, I got to play some CDH. I got to play a bunch of casual EDH as well. Got to take some decks I don't play as much anymore, as well as some of my favorite decks as well, and kind of just got a chance to play those. And that was a lot of fun. Got some very thrilling wins, including one or two out of nowhere. So that was really awesome. So thanks to everyone who was playing with me in those games. Again, if you're interested in the cosplay experience from the MTG and Quarantine podcast side of things, I did go as my signature Tireless Tracker on Saturday. Another interesting thing to note is the Tireless Tracker costume is far more difficult to put together than it actually looks, and it's also not necessarily metal detector compliant, which makes my life a little bit more difficult when I'm trying to get into the hall. So just some frustrations there, but you know, it's always fun to be able to go in my costume, my cosplay. It's fun to just be able to get pictures with other folks, you know, content friends, other cosplayers, because folks know that's part of my brand. So they know that when they see the Tireless Tracker, they know it's me there. And it's really cool to be able to interact with them and be able to cosplay as a character from not from the Magic lore, but from the Magic card sphere anyway. And that's why I continue to do the cosplay. And speaking of cosplay, I unfortunately missed most of the cosplay contest because I thought it was at a different time than it actually turned out to be. I think they ended up changing the time on me, and I got confused and got back there just in time to see the grand champion for this year's cosplay contest get crowned. Huge congratulations to Misha for the win. I was able to at least see that. I also got to hear the very interesting story behind the sword, a Fire and Ice trophy that was handed out. So a lot of really cool stuff going on there in the cosplay sphere, a lot of really awesome work being done out there. And, you know, it's great, as a cosplayer myself, it is great to see that Wizards is really taking this thing seriously. I've met a lot of really cool people doing the cosplay stuff, and it's always worth it when people say, hey, cool costume, or they ask me what card I'm cosplaying as. So that really makes it worth it, and even as frustrating as cosplaying can be, whether that's, you know, going through the airport with a giant bag with all your cosplay stuff in there, or like I said, trying to get through the metal detector, which apparently is more difficult than it needs to be sometimes with that particular costume, it's definitely worth cosplaying, and I do enjoy myself. So, yeah, there's that. Let's see, moving on. So they had a very interesting Eldraine immersive experience, I guess, upstairs. They have done that for the last couple of cons, and it was really cool. I didn't spend a whole ton of time up there. That was obviously where the featured cosplayers were sitting, and that was also upstairs in the convention center, and I didn't spend a lot of time up there, partly because of the injury to my foot, so I just didn't feel like going up there as much. But again, it was really cool to see all of the work that they're putting in to that sort of setup. Definitely an awesome thing to see that the immersive experience is there, because it really brings this silly cardboard rectangle game to life. It's not just the cosplayers, it's also just the immersive experience of everything. And I really hope that things will continue to improve after Vegas, going forward into what, MagicCon Chicago, I guess, which is next February, and then going forward. So a lot has definitely changed since Philadelphia, and definitely a lot for the better. I really can't wait to go to MagicCon Chicago next year. It should be really fun. Got a lot of awesome people going there, and definitely a worthwhile time. Let's see, what else was really, really cool about this event? Again, huge shout out to the folks who were doing the Planeswalker drawing contest on Sunday. I honestly don't remember who was in charge of that. I wish I could remember. Unfortunately, I didn't catch their name or their Twitter tag. So I'm just going to shout out this this little bit right here. One of the featured creators in the content creator area was challenging folks to try to draw a Planeswalker from memory on a piece of paper with a Sharpie in 60 seconds and then compete head-to-head against another person. And it was really cool to be able to see a little bit of that chaos happening right in front of me. I was actually videoing a couple of the rounds that included friends Jess from Inkling Customs, who actually has done a bunch of custom art for some of my legendary commanders for my personal EDH decks, as well as fellow cosplayer and friend Zbex. I was able to watch a couple of folks draw Chandra, as well as draw Angrath. And honestly, it was really funny with Angrath because neither participant really remember what Angrath looked like. So it was basically drawing little minotaurs on a pirate ship or something. It was pretty funny. And I was able to get a picture of Jess's drawing of Chandra in 60 seconds. It actually looks fairly, for being a 60-second drawing, very, very nice. So very fun to watch folks trying to come up with different kinds of experiences. Obviously, we go to cons all the time as content creators, but it's always nice to see what people are doing to try to mix things up a little bit. Something I did miss that was also happening, there was a Battle of Gigantic, so the oversized, we're talking about oversized cards versus the tiny Magic the Gathering cards. Apparently in the creator arena adjacent to it on Sunday, there was actually a battle between these jumbo oversized cards, a deck of jumbo oversized cards and a deck of those little tiny cards that they used to sell. And the pictures of those are absolutely hilarious. I feel terrible that I actually missed that, but you know, such is life. But yeah, that seems really cool. I got pictures with a whole ton of people. Obviously want to commemorate my experience. I wish I had taken more pictures, actually. But again, when I'm usually wandering around by myself, it's kind of hard to get pictures with others, especially unless they're selfies. But, you know, selfies just are never quite as nice as you want them to turn out to be. So it is what it is. I also got to ride the dinosaur, finally. So they had a dinosaur set up at MagicCon Philly, and apparently you could get on its back, take pictures there, yada, yada, yada. And I never got the chance to do that in Philly. Then Minneapolis rolls around. You weren't allowed to sit on the dinosaur, which really annoyed me and a lot of other folks. And finally, they hit Wizards was able to fix that problem, so you're able to sit on top of it again. So I got onto the dinosaur on Friday, fortunately. Got a couple of photos there, including one of me trying to channel the mental misplay, so Alan's energy from Philly, where you just rear him back as far as you can on this dinosaur with your hand in the air, just looking excited as all hell. And it was really fun getting those pictures. So that was another really cool thing. And another thing I'm going to shout out was it was a very nice, touching tribute to the great Sheldon Mennery. They had a, not really a memorial, but kind of a, a memorial, stashed in the corner of the command zone near the vendor booths. And it was basically just a table and a vase with some flowers on it and a sign with Sheldon's name on it, his picture on there from the rules committee, as well as a couple paragraphs of what he meant to the game. And honestly, I thought that was a very touching tribute. I wasn't sure exactly what to expect, given the fact that he passed away a couple weeks ago. So I wasn't sure if Wizards was going to be able to do anything about that or not. And I was very glad to see that they had something set up for him in his honor. And the fact that they had a Feldegriff, which is one of his favorite commanders, sitting in the flower display right there was a really nice touch. I ended up, if you follow me on Twitter, you saw that I made a very, very basic sign that I was going to originally carry around with me at the con. And when I saw the memorial there, I realized I didn't have to do that, actually, that there was already something there. So ultimately, on Sunday, before I left, I was able to get a picture with myself holding the sign in front of the memorial, and then I left the sign there. Multiple other folks had left various cards and signed things and left them on the table. So figured that it would be fitting to leave the sign behind as a token of respect for this great man and everything he meant for the game. So that was a really nice touching tribute right there, and I'm glad the Wizards was able to get the hint that of how much Sheldon meant to not just Magic the Gathering, but to us as creators and just the EDH community in general. It was very nice to see that. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else, honestly. It was just really cool to hang out with my friends again, see everybody, because we don't get to see each other all that often. Obviously, with the nature of the online connections, we don't really get to have those human interactions all that often. And that's one thing that I think I may have to change going forward, is maybe not look to play as many games. Obviously, I love to play as many games as possible, because I don't always play Magic when I'm not at con. So I always feel like I have to play more, so that I have these awesome memories of things happening from the con. But I'm starting to wonder if the pursuit of playing games is actually taking away from the experience of just hanging out with cool people and just, you know, spending that friend time with folks rather than just tying myself down to a table for an hour, hour and a half at a time. So I may have to start rethinking how I approach these cons. Obviously, I'm still going to take cards. I still want to play Magic because playing with my friends is an awesome experience. You never know what's going to happen. But I'm definitely starting to think that maybe I need to hang out more and play a little less, you know? Still try to get like 10 games in on the weekend, but don't overthink it. Don't only go for the games. I think I'm at a point where I've played enough Magic and I know enough people that I really just want to hang out too. So we'll see how that does going forward. We'll see if I end up trying to build some sort of new cosplay for Chicago. Who knows? It's 5 months away, so anything can happen between now and then. There was definitely something else I had in the back of my mind. I can't remember what it was. So, yeah, ultimately that was the MC Vegas experience. If you were lucky to be there, I hope you had a great time. If you unfortunately weren't able to be there, wish you'd been able to be there. It was an awesome time. Had a lot of fun with friends. And I didn't get a chance to really check out Vegas too much because of the injury. But, you know, such is life. And, yeah, just had a good time. And I can't wait to go to these kinds of events in the future. All right. If you liked what you heard today, you can help support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. I'd like to also give a huge shout out and thank you to all the folks who support me over there already, including Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro. Again, if you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you have been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.